Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 41. I got it right. And I was going to say a smaller group, but it's an average size group here tonight. Nick's calling in from Cleveland.
That I am.
Okay. I guess we'll introduce everybody. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics.
Matt Lytle.
Sean Wheatley.
Joe F.
Ryan Sargent.
Adam Russell.
I'm calling in from Cleveland, as I already said.
At Nick Borelli.
Always at Nick Borelli.
Changes well, every time.
That's okay.
At the Twitterverse.
I'm at Pittsburgh Comics.
I'm a little further away in the introduction here today. Usually I'm like right over there, so...
You chose that seat.
No, I'm cool with it. I'm just saying.
There's nice, no assigned seats.
No, it's a nice change of pace.
You got one of the good chairs, so...
Yeah,
Colin, you need to up these other chairs. We need microphones, big round poker table, like
no, because I want to be able to stand near the table. I'd feel that I'd be urged to put on about 200 pounds.
I'll stand around the table. I'm ahead of you. I'll stand back. Don't worry. I'll
call Kevin.
Keep the mic. Keep the mic.
Would you prefer Bendis to call your shop now or to call in to a Skype?
Skype? Are you serious?
Yeah. Set me up.
Sure.
I'd be able to do it.
Yeah, Skype would be great.
Okay.
We have a two for now?
Adam,
we need your help.
Oh, not on my iPad with a Bendis.
He just told me I'm in the new Powers, what do you call it, letter column, too. So that's
there you go.
Cool.
Yeah, once a year I can do that.
Should we restart?
Oh, actually, that's gold right there.
Bear with us,
everybody. Should we make fun of Comic Shop Men while Adam's getting Skype fired up?
Comic book, man.
So I found the second episode more painful than the first.
You know, my disappointment with it was I'm like, okay, I'll give you a shot. The first one, you guys were fumbling. You're trying to find your way. That's fine. But when you had the masturbation joke in the first minute of the second one, I just went...
Well, that kind of follows up with who would you have sex with if you could? I mean, this is kind of...
It does,
this is more realistic.
But I was hoping for more. To? I was hoping for more from the second issue, or second episode. And I do have to give him props, though, because it was funny. I was taking notes. And...
What?
Go ahead.
And when the guy came in with the crisis issues,
yeah.
I quickly wrote down what I thought, what I would offer the guy. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't pay $15 for a Jim Lee signature on the little print thing, but for a fan, you would, but I wouldn't. Yeah, because now you gotta sell it for more.
It was funny. As soon as I saw them bring in a print, Jim Lee side print, I'm like, what would Joe F. pay?
I'd totally wait in line for a Jim Lee. I'd wait hours for a Jim Lee autograph.
But then I was waiting to see what he would offer. You know, assuming by the way the show's been going, he would offer him. You know, the guy would ask for 100, he'd offer him 200. And I was
waiting for the Bionic Man.
Yeah,
did you notice that off to the side there was an amazing Spider-Man 300 just
just kind of laying around?
I saw.
Yeah, they didn't know what they had. You know, Brian put his drink on it.
Yeah,
that's a coaster.
And when he offered him $15, I'm like, yes, that was exactly the number I'd come up with.
But they had those amazing Kevin Smith comic books.
Well, they did, and somebody mentioned that maybe it might be a licensing or a rights issue. I was happy that they showed the one guy actually handing a customer something. You know, like, hey, you might be interested in this. I'm like, yay! You know, they were actually customers.
Staged.
Of course, it was staged, but it was non-existent in the first episode.
Would you really get $15 for that set of Crisis?
Yeah.
Were they CGC?
They weren't, but it was a full run with multiples of some of them.
The second half, you said he had all the variants or something like that.
Not variants, but just extras. Yeah.
Whatever.
So yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
We're talking about Crisis on Infinite Earth.
Crisis, the original Crisis. Yeah, so I was happy when I saw that because they seemed to me have been overpaying for everything. And the lightsaber thing was awesome. That was a geek out.
I didn't get to see that.
They thought it was from New Hope. Okay. And the guy goes, "No, I'm sorry. I'm positive this was not in New Hope."
Wow.
But I am, he's like 85-90% sure it was in Empire Strikes Back.
Nice.
And it was like, yeah, you just assume he's saying, no, this is a fake, yada, and then he says, no, I'm sure. It's like, it was Luke's lightsaber from Empire. I'm like, how cool is that? So you're allowed to geek out over that. The Batmobile thing.
The information that he gave was actually really cool.
Yes. Yes, but the Batmobile thing was stupid. The hockey
was ridiculous.
But see,
that's what the show needs to be. Like, that's what the whole, like, the lightsaber thing.
Yes, if it was more of that.
It seems more interesting. When they came in and even explained, like, even when they cut back and forth from, what?
Focus.
Okay.
Eat the mic.
Even when they cut back and forth to the podcast that they were recording, and they were still talking about, like, what Crisis is, who died, and it just random facts like that, where even if you knew some of it, it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, somebody made a comment, though, how can you work in a comic store with only, like, what do you say, a vague passing knowledge of Infinite or the Crisis? I'm like, I don't know it that well, and I've heard well, on a Sunday, like,
yeah.
I read it, but it was years ago.
Yeah, I don't know, but I don't know, I guess if it came in and I went, look, this is issue where Flash dies, you would at least...
Yeah, I'd get the
you'd know about it and go, what?
Yeah.
When did Flash die? Yeah, and then the Jason Mewes opening up the toys, I mean, poor Jason.
A cautionary tale of drugs.
Poor Ming. I mean, that guy, they ripped Ming off. I'm sure Kevin Smith reimbursed it.
And I did have one question, though. Not that, but with the hockey thing, the one guy had never played hockey before. How did he get in this group? That's what I didn't understand. It seemed to be his buddies, hockey-playing buddies.
He sold Jason Mewes the drugs.
Oh, that could be.
Well, the whole...
could they vacuum any louder?
They're doing the wall right now.
We're recording over here! They're playing on Kuwait, banning through the window. Or through the wall. The whole thing with him buying things, though, for him, I'm pretty sure even Kevin Smith pays all of them. I mean, basically, they live off of Kevin Smith.
They
so
have
even though
to.
He takes that stuff, it's almost like the same as Kevin Smith giving them money all the time.
Because,
you know?
Like, I'm going to guess there aren't many comic stores in the United States that could support 3 full-time employees.
Oh, he has to. No way.
Could you? There's no way you could.
I don't know what they do. I mean, I mean, I couldn't, but I could certainly find the work for someone to do, like, you know, somebody, you know, sorting the back issues and somebody doing something. But, I mean, I don't get the impression from people that have been to the store that it's, you know, a big back issue store or things like that. I hear it's just a Kevin Smith store.
Nick, have you been
so
there?
So unless they're in the back processing mail order or something.
Nick.
Yes.
Have you been to Secret Stash?
I have not. I really mean to, though. A lot
somebody
of my friends have
been there. I know somebody that we were talking to has been there.
Well, Nick's just a big Kevin
Smith. Oh, I know. I assumed it would have been Nick.
Yeah, I want to go. I probably will go eventually. Like, I certainly have bought my share of things from there. And I certainly have, you know... it's funny. I have Walt Flanagan and Brian Johnson signed action figures.
They made a Brian Johnson one?
Yeah.
I know they were in action figures. But
was it like a...
Oh, yeah, in action figures. Sorry.
Yeah. Is that right, Nick? Dave. Was he Steve Dave?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he looked more like a human being back then.
Okay, he wasn't trying. He wasn't going for the Alan Moore thing.
I think anybody that they had at the cartoon show is made into one of those action figures.
He looked even a little creepier with
the same one.
With the hat on.
Is that Brian Johnson?
Yeah.
Brian Johnson directed the most vulgar movie in the history of movies. It's called Vulgar. Yeah, it's called Vulgar.
Yeah, with the clown?
Yeah. I don't even want to repeat what it's about. That's how vulgar it was. It takes a lot to offend me, and that movie was way over the top.
Can you bring it in next week?
No, I got rid of it. I got it out of my house. It was so vulgar.
I have it.
Mail it to Matt. He wants to see
it. Is it on Netflix?
It's a messed up film. Red State was something that I was totally shocked by, and I really loved. That movie is, like, way better than I would have thought.
So yeah, let's talk about the good news about comic books. There's only 4 episodes left.
Yeah.
Oh. Wow.
It's like a bad Marvel miniseries.
It's just kind of funny, because they've been teasing this awesome Golden Age collection coming in. I don't know if they're waiting for it for the last episode, so people will stick around to see it and stuff. Where they put on white gloves and they're showing Wonder Woman number 1 and stuff, which is, you know, offer you $1 million of Kevin Smith's money.
That's a lot of Silent Bob action figures you got to sell.
Yeah, that Muse hasn't already opened up and taken away.
Yeah, but I bet you could sell those on eBay as, like, Touched by Jason Mewes or some Kevin Smith nut.
Some Kevin Smith nut that has $1 million, huh?
What will you catch?
Yeah, but you can just be like, I mean, seriously, list those on eBay with, like, as played with by Jason Mewes on episode 2 of Comic Book Man.
Hepatitis?
I don't think hepatitis is communicable through action figures.
Oh, you probably get snoochy boochies.
Yeah. But I was just saying, the one thing, I mean, I can understand the idea of the hockey, and that'll be fun, but just went on way too long. But I love the thing, you know, the Brian Johnson mocking Ming, and then when the game comes, oh, my knee's swollen. It's like, oh, wait, you live at home, you don't have a job, you've never had a job, you'd mentioned that you wish you could retire, but you don't have a job to retire from. Mm-hmm. You don't have a girlfriend, apparently, from other comments about being dead from the waist down.
He's a winner.
Yeah.
You can order a staff t-shirt or a staff hoodie for the secret staff.
There you go. And then he's got a bad leg, a bad knee to go along with that. He's like, what a catch this guy is, you know.
And he looks like Alan Moore.
He's going for the Alan Moore look. He trims his beard in the middle of the store.
Should practice his evil incantations.
Okay, and the other thing about that, I keep forgetting to bring this up. If some dude came in here and had the Batmobile and the cowl from Adam West, would you really... would you let somebody else wear it? And B, would you actually wear it and ride around town wearing some random cowl?
If it was on TV.
Yeah.
What?
I mean, it is a television show. That there's cameras everywhere.
And but, like, somebody sweated in that cowl, and, like, who knows what's in there?
I would not wear the hat, but I'd drive the car.
I would do that, too. I would agree. I would drive the Batmobile, but I would not wear Adam West's old cowl.
And C, would you wear it after Brian Johnson?
Yeah. If I owned that, I wouldn't let that anywhere near Brian Johnson.
No. I got to... sit inside the 1950s Batman costume, or the Batmobile recently.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Where was that at?
It was funny. It was at an event that this guy who's a printer in Cleveland, and he's a big comic book fan. Mm-hmm. He came to the catering place I was working for at the time and said, I'm thinking about a theme like comic books. Can you do that? And then the person that was working with him was like, hold on a second. I'm going to get somebody for you. Hooked me in front of him, and it's like, oh, let's do this. And I made some calls, and we were able to get that to come in. It was pretty sweet.
Nice.
Cool. Well, I guess we're not getting Bendis, so if you're waiting on bated breath,
he said he's not at home, but I'm trying to get a rain check out of him.
Okay. Yeah, calling the store wouldn't work because the phone doesn't have duplex, and so anytime someone else spoke, it would cut out.
Because your iPad's safe.
It works okay when Mike calls, but other than that...
Because we need that for the question.
Yeah.
When Justin made that comment about somebody annoying you on the phone, I'm like, well, it could be A, B, C. I'm going down the list. I'm like, I can think of at least three people that call on a regular basis that would annoy you.
Not you, Mr. Snyder.
No, you're always welcome to call in.
It's too late.
I don't remember the comment.
Yeah, well,
he's already turned off the podcast.
Yeah.
Model boy. And what did I get this week?
Oh, okay, yeah.
So when are you going to get a little short Asian guy to work here to make fun of?
Wow. No, that's what your position is. People. I mean, that's not fair. I make fun of all of you, and you know that, but it's all done sarcastically. Like when I call Ryan a punk, he knows. But I don't think they're not making fun of Ming. Right, I don't think in a fun way. They're all. It's much
right.
Seems in a much more mean way.
There's a difference between joking around with friends and then them just like. Destroying him publicly every episode and, you know, not leaving him with a leg to stand on at all.
You're an idiot. You gave away money. Ha, ha, ha.
Well, that's the thing. It's, like, I think I mentioned this in the last podcast, but, like, Pawn Stars with Chumlee, that's different. Like, Chumlee, at least, you know, he actually works there, too, and does things, and but he is one of the fun... Well,
that,
I mean, they have him behind the counter sometimes.
Have you seen the guy, the following that guy has outside of the show? I mean...
Yeah.
If I had a woman following me that he does, you can make fun of me all week on TV, every night of the week. I'd be fine with that.
But with Chumlee, I think it's different, like, making fun of. With this, it's, like, really harsh stuff that they're saying. It's just like,
say this, but
they're that good friends. I mean, you know, think about, like, how you talk.
I think Ming's laughing the whole way to the bank, because they were talking about him buying $100 jeans.
Yeah, that's true.
If you work, it was a gift. He said it was
well, yeah, that's
okay.
Right.
Whatever. But if you work at a comic book store and you can afford $100 jeans, you're not hurting.
Right.
Just saying.
I wonder which one of Kevin Smith's fans
what are you saying about me, man?
Gets paid.
I'm saying you don't wear $100 jeans to work.
He's a member of the Ming Dynasty, so he does. That's some old money.
He sells vases on the side.
It's the oldest money, I think.
I feel like we should all be making fun of Brian Johnson on that show.
Well, that's such an easy target.
He does a good job of it himself.
That's true.
And I don't know enough about Zapsik to make anything.
What is Zapsik?
He's the guy with the goatee that
never does anything.
I think he's the guy that knows everything, like that actually knows comics.
Really?
I think he might be because he's quiet. He doesn't play hockey.
He might be the actual comic guy.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Like, he might be the one that knows something.
That's why they should shut him up.
Yeah.
it's called Hockey Man. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Because the other guy, Walt, I mean, he just buys stuff and...
Yeah,
and
lets that's his, all he seems to do. Is
and lets his emotions get better of him.
Yeah.
I mean, sort of like a Wally Wood original page walking in here, I can't see you getting emotional over many things. Amazing Fantasy 15.
Well, Walt was like...
But I'd play it better than him. I wouldn't go, oh my god, you know what this is worth?
I don't know about those two. Those two, I think you kind of lose your cool and be like, here's all the money in my register and a check.
We should roleplay. How would you handle it, Colin? I would say I brought in Amazing Fantasy 15.
Can you try it with a little more bass, though?
I mean, that is kind of my issue, though. I mean, I didn't watch all of the second episode.
What?
I know.
You weren't riveted?
No, I wasn't. But the first episode, you know, when they brought in, you know, the guy came in with the Batman sketch, and he was just like, oh, that's so cool. And even the other guy that had the Blade comic and the Thor poster, he just thought that was the greatest thing ever. And then he was like, I'm not going to give you that much for it. Yeah. So, you know, automatically you're going to be dealing with unhappy customers.
It's kind of funny, only... Life teaches you things that you don't think you're being taught. But I used to sell cars, and one of the things they teach you is when you're going around their trade-in, you kind of, you don't say anything, but you put your finger on the dent.
Right.
You run your finger along the scratch. You're kind of pointing out the flaws in their car without having to say anything, and then you can bring it up later, and you know that they saw you.
Right.
Okay. You know, gosh, what happened there? I remember I was going around a car with somebody, and got around to the driver's side, and the door was blue, and the car was green. It's like, hey! And they're like, oh, yeah. So that's kind of the same thing. When you're going through the books, you're kind of going, oh, that's a little beat up. And when they are, I mean, you're not going to, if it's mint, you're not making fun of it, but you kind of try to knock the value.
You don't see
down.
A lot of 10.0 Silver Age key.
Yeah, most of them are dinged up, you know.
Yeah.
And you just make nice little comments, like, boy, you really enjoyed this book, didn't you? You know. So, I mean, there's just ways to do it nicely, you know, but you're trying to, you know, wow, you saw this sold for $1,000. Well, not one that looked like this.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that. But, yeah, no, if one of those books came in, well, I'd have to pick myself up. And, no, you feel out the person. Are they just cleaning out a garage? You know, you don't want to offer too much on something like that. You know, do they know what they have?
Right.
If they know what they have, they're not coming here, you know.
Don't you, as an expert, have a legal...
eBay, or...
That's a lot of
money.
I thought in contract law, if you were considered an expert in the field, you had to be forthcoming about something. That was 10 years ago I took that class.
Yeah, not that I know. Oh, great.
A certified expert, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, but, I mean, they're coming to sell me something. I'm making them an offer.
Yeah.
I learned long ago not to offer too much. Because I used to, oh, you know, it's a $100 book, I'll give them 50 for it. Well, you know, that doesn't work. Then when I have a sale and sell it for 50, and you're like, oh, okay, that didn't work.
One of the issues with the whole glove thing, though, if the customer,
if it comes in a plastic tote or an apple box, why are you pulling out white gloves?
That's the thing. If the customer, you don't know the customer, or the person coming in trying to sell this, doesn't that send them the message that this is, like, a piece of art? Like,
yeah. I mean, I'm sure that's all staged. Do they really have white gloves at the store? Yeah. Are they going to take those out of the bag? Are you going to take Wonder Woman 1 out of the bag to look at it?
Yeah.
You know, that's something. Call the auction house right now.
What
Why
does
are you
Wonder
here?
Woman number 1 go for?
A lot.
A lot.
Multiples of,
I mean, it depends. Like, a really good one, you know, 400,000 or 500,000.
Yeah.
So it's about a third of Action or Detective.
Yeah.
Well, those have just gone crazy on lately CGC'd high grade.
Well, and you say take it to the auction house, but that's you. I mean, Kevin Smith's store might be a little different. Because Kevin Smith may want it for his own collection. He might be willing to pay. Because you got to remember, you only get 30, you get 70, 60 to 70% of an auction house's value because they take this fee. He might be willing to
pay. But I couldn't put a $400,000 book on the shelf and actually be able to sell it.
But Kevin Smith might say, I want Wonder Woman number one for my collection.
Well, sure.
You'd actually get the whole value, and then they would charge 10% on top of that to the buyer as their fee.
I thought every auction house I've heard about takes 30%
of the W.
It's under
W.
But they have a first page.
Yeah. Or it's actually under.
Because whenever you watch Pond, like any of the store shows, they're like, we can take it to the auction house, and you're only going to get 30% of what they sell it for.
Maybe a live auction house.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it. There was an article on CBR today, and now I can't find it for some reason in my newsfeed. But I guess in Virginia, somebody found a whole bunch of comics. Yeah,
it was 345 books, and it was an Ants collection.
Yes,
and it had an Action One and a Detective 27,
Batman number one, graded 8.5. I read.
Yeah, and Cap two.
Yeah.
But how are they still finding these?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, that's like there was a family, was it last year? Their house was being foreclosed on. They were going to lose everything, and they found.
But they like found that like up in the attic, like in the floorboards or something.
Yeah, somewhere hidden away.
Where this was in a closet. I mean, just. Oh, comics are worth something? Hello? Well, you know.
There are some people that might think that. I mean,
I did that with my copy of Superman 75. I took it and I put it at the top of the closet, in the back of the closet. I'm like, this is going to be great. I'm going to forget about this. And I'm going to graduate college, and I'm going to find this and use it to pay off my student loans.
Well, you did some of that.
What?
I mean, you forgot about it.
I went to college.
Yeah.
And so, you paid off your student loans. Pretty far.
Actually, my little brother found it, opened it, and destroyed my dreams way before, you know, any of it could have come to pass.
Is that book worth about 12 bucks? Did you wear the armband?
Yeah,
did I wear it? You know, actually, I really enjoyed the contents of that black bag issue because I was afraid to open it whenever I first bought it. So it was nice to be able to.
Did you download the digital copy?
Can I get my digital copy now, Superman 75?
I don't think in my entire life I ever bought a comic and thought this is going to be worth something. Even when I was a kid.
Oh, really?
Really? I don't know. I don't think that's ever occurred to me. Not that I don't value my comic books, but I value them to myself. I've never
money. Nick is the king of short sale comic books.
Well, not to Nick, but
he's like a day trader for comics.
It was funny. I didn't realize I'd done it because, you know, just, you know, in high school and stuff, just buying stuff I like. Mm-hmm. But in college, I bought five copies of a book.
Okay.
This is going to be important. I didn't realize I'd done it until I was going through my collection years later and found five. And I was thrilled because it was Dark Knight number one.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I did good.
Yeah, well, Nick actually, I was joking about that, but Nick, when he was here last week, was telling me about how he'll buy books out of previews for $2 or $3, sell them in a couple months when they peak out at 9 or 10 on eBay, and just make a quick
First issues of mega crossovers are really easy. You wait 2 months. They always double, and double's no big deal. It's $6 on eBay. You make a little bit off shipping, and you buy, you know, 20, 30 of them, whatever, and you do that kind of thing every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Roll that money into a better book, roll some of those better books into bigger books, and there you go.
So did you buy 20 copies of AVX1?
No, I don't really do it as much anymore because I just buy so many books.
I'll have plenty if you're looking for it.
Right. AVX1,
you can keep that sanction in stock.
It's because I only ordered 24.
Like, it's funny, I bought one issue of The Walking Dead number one and 20 of Invincible number one. I wish it would have gone the other way.
Yeah. But, you never know.
Invincible number one's not worth anything?
No, Invincible's worth something. I sold them for, like 40 bucks a copy.
I guess the only time.
Yeah,
actually, okay. All-Star Comics number 8, first Wonder Woman. Actually, it's only 75, Nick.
I sold my first four Walking Dead recently for $839, so.
Wow.
Yeah, the increase in 2008-2009 wasn't too dramatic.
Yeah.
I guess the first time I thought about this was when we did the New 52 thing, and I was like, whoa, I have one of every one of these new books.
Maybe congratulations.
I should keep these. Yeah, I know, but then they print, oh, we're on like a seventh printing already.
But that makes the first print harder to find. I can't believe Justice League went to a seventh print.
I know.
That's insane.
And now, didn't they just say that Secret Six went to like a fourth or a fifth? Secret Six number one.
There's no Secret
I'm sorry, Suicide Squad? Squad. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Okay. Yeah, I read that the other day.
I wish they'd bring Secret Six back.
Yeah.
Has anybody heard what Gail Simone's doing after Firestorm?
I have no idea.
Besides Batgirl?
I don't think she said anything.
Maybe we can get her out here for a signing if she's not busy. Let's call her.
She's not busy.
Nick? Oh, sorry.
I'm on it.
Okay. Since we're done with Comic Book Men.
Yeah.
I feel bad. You know, they're getting so much press from people bashing it, but it's bad. I tried to find the redeeming stuff, but a book came out today that I've never opened a book before and just been so blown away as I was by this book.
How good it was, bad it was,
how amazing it is, and just
wait. Let me guess. Can we guess?
Is it Spider-Man?
Well, these guys all know. So
Well, never mind. Then I'm out.
And I posted it online. It's not a real surprise.
This is a real hard question.
Yeah, Wally Wood.
No, that Wally Wood artist edition. And I'm not using this to try to sell it. I have one left for sale because I'm taking the one that's on display home. I'm so happy they did this. It's just, you know, reproduction of all his EC work from the EC file copy stuff and just reprinted it, and it's just amazing. It's huge. I have no idea where I'll put it. There's not a bookcase made to hold that.
You get one shelf specifically for that book.
You can frame it.
Like I said, it's a coffee table book if you added legs. Because it's, you know, the original size, the 50s
by
are
17.
Bigger than that.
Why don't you frame it? You
can't frame the book.
Sure, get a shadow box, frame it.
No, because I want to look at it all the time.
Lectern.
Just, you know, amazing art. Yeah, lectern would be good. But amazing art just in the presentation.
Still,
I was talking to
your church, you could preach from it, from the Book of Wally Wood.
I was talking with a customer earlier, just going, you know, IDW can't be making any money off this. This is one of those labor of love things. Because you look at that, the production costs on that have to be close to what I paid for it.
How old's the material? Is the material not copyrighted anymore? I mean, are they getting the pages for free?
I don't even know. It's that. I just mean the production of the book, the actual scanning and all that stuff. That's just an amazing, amazing book. So
I think those artist editions are really cool. And when I first heard about them publishing them, I thought, you know, that's a cool idea. But even the other ones that I'd seen, you had the Spider-Man one, and I thought it looked cool. But when I was looking through this, like, that one really blew me away. Just the art. You know, the style of Wally. I've never really, because
you have the history stuff. Even the Spider-Man stuff was neat, but it was from the 60s. And I mean, granted, it's only 10 years older, but there's just something to it. The dated quality.
And maybe it's just because I don't really know a lot about Wally Wood, which now I got to look into it because that stuff's really cool. But
My story goes way back. The first Silver Age book I ever bought was Daredevil 8, which was one of the Wally Wood issues.
Right.
And then I later ran across some of his original Thunder Agent stuff. Just went, this guy's really good. He's different from all these, you know.
When you got 8, did you go back and get the previous months?
No, I didn't get it new, Nick.
7.
I have them all now. But it's funny.
7's one of those big books.
Yeah, sadly. I mean, I have it, but.
What was 7?
7 was the first Red Costume.
Oh, nice.
The classic battle with Namor.
That's a one-sided fight.
That was the old one.
Yeah, well, it was, but that was kind of the whole point of the issue.
Yeah.
Was that it was a one-sided fight, but Daredevil didn't back down.
Nice.
What was pre-Red Costume? Was it the yellow?
Yeah, the yellow and black. The one obviously created by a blind man. But, if they did a colon Daredevil one of those, I'd be all over that.
I'd rather have a colon Iron Man. You're getting your Daredevil... with Mitch, whatever his name
is. Mazzucchelli. I'm super excited about that. Sorry, turning you back, Nick. Don't want to look at anyone.
Is that one going to be a whole story?
Yes, I looked into it. It is the complete storyline. Yeah.
Wow.
Because if they do a Gene Cole one, I'll order. I'm in.
But that Mazzucchelli, I think I'm going to be ordering quite a few of those.
Did they solicit the Eisner one yet?
Yeah, they did. They did.
Hmm. That's your chance. Break the streak.
No, they didn't order it from me, so
I guess if there was a complaint, which it's not really a complaint, is they're all different sizes, so you can't even. They're all, each one is different than the other.
I guess the Spider-Man one was smaller.
That's horrible.
These are pretty much the original size.
This is the first time I ever had two at the same time, and I actually took a picture of the Romita in front of the Wally Wood just to show you how huge.
How many are there at this point? The Rocketeer?
4. Did you get the Rocketeer?
Got the Rocketeer.
See, I didn't even think about that.
Is that also the whole series? Or?
I don't know.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm.
Ooh. That'd be nice.
Now I'm thinking about these.
Well, it's too late.
The Rocket's here. I don't.
You can get this one.
I think right.
You
can only
I got one left.
Yeah, they have that. Because the print run was so small on it, nobody was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew, but they haven't gone back to print, which makes me think it was expensive to do.
Are they numbered?
No. But I'm sure it's
my Marvel very books are small. Numbered.
What?
Sarcasm.
Have you guys seen the super rare Simonson sketch variant where he actually draws a sketch on the cover?
Oh, the
cover.
That's probably was that in San Diego?
I saw it posted online.
They probably did that at San Diego. Because I remember that first one came out right around San Diego so they could premiere it there.
Wow.
Which I know drives the San Diego shops insane. Like, I ordered this stuff and you premiere it 2 weeks before I get it.
Down the
so
road.
Everybody goes down the road and buys it, and now I'm stuck with it.
Oh, man. They'd probably sell it to you after you sell out, though, right?
Okay.
I'm actually, right now, I'm looking at this Overstreet guy.
But you're looking at a two-year-old? Oh, you grabbed the new one.
No, right. I grabbed your...
why are you looking at old Overstreet?
This book sometimes makes me really sad. Because I look at Amazing Fantasy.
Yeah,
here.
Hang on. I asked my mom for $1,100 back in high school so I could buy an Amazing Fantasy number 15, and she said no. Can you believe
shocking.
That? She said no. I was 16 years old. What's wrong with her?
Well, right now they'd have to. It's according to this 2011 Near Men. It is $125,000.
Yep. See,
less than I thought.
Yeah, a little bit.
How much is yours worth?
Me, but it's still.
I don't have it. I always wanted, like, an All-Star 3, but, you know.
What do you think Action Comics is?
I have a 13 and a 14 right now.
What's up?
So cool.
What do you think Action Comics is?
And Near Mint, when was this Overstreet? Was this last year's?
Yeah. Well,
It doesn't mean anything. Well, these books like this don't mean anything.
No.
It's just like the day somebody buys it is what they're worth. But I don't know. Based on that number, 400.
What's it got Superman 75 in there?
1,400,000.
Well, wait. That might just be an auction number then.
There's only a few that have gone for.
Yeah.
That's not.
It's funny. In those books, it's not even about, like, just the grading. Sometimes it's about the pedigree, too.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Well, so you have to decide somebody's going to buy it, but I'm sure somebody will buy Action Comics.
If it was Nicolas Cage's book, it's worth more money?
Yep.
Does he do a Ghost Rider sketch on the cover for you?
Probably.
Anybody going to see that tomorrow night?
Nope.
Yep.
God, I thought it came out already.
Yeah.
I was reading reviews of it online.
Tomorrow. Is it tomorrow, Nick?
No, last week.
No,
last Friday.
Week.
Last
oh, okay.
I think it crashed and burned pretty good.
I have the first one on my iPhone. I was watching it on the plane.
I like the first one, actually.
Did it put you to sleep?
I didn't like the peeing fire trailer. I kind of went...
Okay, so how about them?
Wow,
how about
that's
them, the Penguins?
That was a great game last night. Oh, sorry.
Shut them out.
So how about the Avengers there, Adam?
They're okay.
Come on, Mr. Agenda. Isn't that our
Where's
topic?
The agenda?
Nick's got all the idea, but I can get in.
What?
Are we assembling?
Let's assemble for the Avengers. This would have been perfect if we had a guest calling in who's writing two of the books.
Yeah.
Three? Well, he's got Earth's Mightiest.
Who's all
in
that?
Oh, plus it's not out yet. I haven't read that.
Yeah.
Well, this probably should be up on
pre Oh, wait, he's helping to write the cartoon book, too?
It's not up. The,
no,
no the Earth's movie book.
Avengers.
Oh.
Or,
yeah, it wasn't up yesterday.
How is that working again? Refresh me, because I was looking at the previews, and it said, in continuity movie.
It is.
Now, did I mean in continuity of the movies, or in
No,
continuity?
In the 616.
Okay, whatever.
Exactly.
I'll figure it out
that's
later.
That's what I told him.
So, 616.
Is that the area code for
it's
Marvel?
It's the Marvel U area code.
6-1-6-5-5-5. Core continuity.
I believe it was established that, like...
I've heard it. I just don't know the derivation.
It's
Alan
Moore called Marvel Universe 616 because that's the original sign of the demon. It's not 666, it's 616.
Is that really where it came from?
Oh, I thought it was just their number of universes. Yeah,
no, it's just Alan Moore making fun of Marvel, saying that it's...
And then they
I don't have it.
Then they adopted it.
I can cover the
ship.
They just went with it.
Like,
it was probably
I guess,
accepted.
Yeah.
And,
I think they decided
to call
that
it.
I mean, I've heard Marvel people refer to it as this.
Oh yeah, yeah, they do. 616. They do. But that's what I was told.
Because I thought Ultimate was supposed to be like 6166.
Wikipedia, man, you got the technology right there.
I'm on it.
Oh, you're on it.
We're all on it
this week in Wikipedia.
Here's one starting bid 2950. Colin.
I was looking at next low picture. And I'm like,
that's all it says. I saw that.
That is cool picture. There we go. You're not actually in it, though.
I have other pictures.
Oh, okay.
Whoa. Keep those off the internet.
Yeah, you're right.
It's too late already.
First used in Rough Justice by Alan Moore and Alan Davis in 1983, the Marvel UK anthology The Daredevils, and was later reprinted in the Captain Britain trade paperback. Mm. So, yeah.
That's why I own the store, man.
I know. Wow. That's why you're the boss, man. We just wear the staff.
Here you go, Colin.
That's why my wife just shakes my head going, why do you know
this? Amazing. Listen to this. This is $1,000.
Okay.
It's a CGC reconditioned 0.5.
Pass.
It's a reconditioned 0.5.
0.5? That's not worth $1,000. My favorite Avengers story.
Yes, sir. Please.
I bought off the spinner rack. I don't remember the issue numbers, but I think it's Perez art, but once I tell the story, Nick, I'm sure, will tell us what the issues, who the artist was, and the month and year it came out. But the Graviton issues? Did it? The villain?
Oh, like, yeah, that was post Heroes Reborn?
No, even, I'm talking like 1979.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he was back in that.
I think that, I'm thinking Perez or is it Terry Austin maybe? It's that.
It was that era they were both doing it.
Yeah, and to me, I was just like, I had never heard of Graviton before, and to me, he seemed like he was so much more dangerous than Magneto, because he could just, like, those chunks of, you know, they had the big floating island over New York City, and he was just toying with the Avengers and putting them in, you know, playing them off each other and then trapping them. And
he had that weird, like, disco outfit.
Was it kind of like a white top?
It was like a white leotard over like a like blue long sleeve like short like or long sleeve pants and shirt. But he had like those pointed like shoulder pads.
Exactly. So as he kept trapping Avengers up in the sky, you know, so it was one of those story arcs that allowed for like to bring in even, you know, reserve Avengers and you know, so you got a chance to see everybody.
Right.
And it was, if I remember correctly, it was only like 4 issues. So, and again, we didn't get 5 Avengers books a month back then. You right. only got the 1. So it was an acceptable amount of time to get through a story arc for a 12-year-old boy.
Yeah, he fought like the legitimate Avengers too. Thor and Vision, Iron Man, like, and it's like, he's like Nefaria. You know, he's like one of those characters where you don't really remember him, but then when you see his power set, you're like, oh, that's a pretty legitimate threat.
So, but I've never really collected the Avengers. So, but I remember, and I think I actually still have that run in my collection back in New York.
Yeah, my Avengers started hard, and nothing ever lived up to it because this box that I got when I was little. I got this box of comics from neighbors who moved away, and in it was 57, another one, there's a snake coming out of a wedding cake, I think it was the Wasp and Hank Pym getting married in that
issue. How terrifying
issue.
Would that be?
Well, that's, but it's just, so these were like classic books, and that was my introduction to the Avengers, and then you pick up, you know, an 80s one, and it never really.
What, the crossing up. Didn't set your world on fire?
No, that's not.
Is that the Serpent Crown?
No, it was just a wedding, and of course, someone had to interrupt the wedding because the villains always had to interrupt the wedding.
Every superhero wedding.
But so, yeah, my early. That was my early stuff, but then I remember when I was collecting in the early 80s, you know, I had the. You know, I was reading. It was the trial of. Yellow Jacket and all that stuff was going on. It was the famous one with Ant-Man on the arrow. So, it was all good stuff.
Who was shooting him on the arrow?
Hawkeye. Tell me, that Hawkeye ain't a lefty. I just realized that movie Hawkeye's a lefty.
No, he's ambidextrous. Chill out.
The ratings on that movie are going to drop.
616 is ambidextrous, I'm just saying.
Left-handed.
Oh. Or that's his, evil brother, Trickshot.
Okay, because on the variant cover that we've... Everything's Hawkeye variants this month, and
yeah, Hawkeye has a brother, right, Nick?
Trickshot.
Hawkeye has a brother, Trickshot.
Yeah,
he's in the Dark Avengers.
Benny Burton.
Benny Burton.
No, it's not Benny.
Benny the Jets.
I don't remember his name. Yeah, he's in Dark Avengers.
Isn't it Green Arrow?
No. But so that, I mean, that was my favorite Avengers stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Who would win if Green Arrow and Hawkeye fought?
Same. Green Arrow.
I love Green Arrow, but I think Hawkeye might win.
The punching
Green Arrow has cooler arrows.
He does. The punching Green arrows.
Has Hawkeye killed?
Yeah, because he started out as a villain, I'm sure he has.
Yeah,
he
I don't know. Has he
Green
ever
Arrow
killed?
Kills.
Oh.
He kills people all the time.
All the time.
Green Arrow?
Hawkeye?
Hey, like
that's what I was going to say. Green Arrow, I know. Yeah.
That never happened.
It was a big deal.
Why are we talking about?
Wait, are you talking about Hawkeye versus?
Can this movie ever just be over?
Where are we? Every
Wait,
Marvel
did
comic
Green Arrow
right now?
Kill somebody before Five and Justice?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I don't know. What are
Longbow
you
Hunters.
Are we talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Adventure story we started on?
Yeah,
we ever go before Longbow Hunters?
Well, maybe.
See, there you go, Nick. We start talking about the Avengers.
No, because before Longbow Hunters, you see a guy with a punching bag or punching glove. Boxing glove arrow.
Adam, what Avengers story did you start?
I didn't read it.
You
know, I actually
Dark
started,
Avengers was really cool.
It was cool and dark. I started on Disassembled, actually. And I always recommend that because I really like Disassembled story.
That's my favorite, too. I think Ryan should read that since he's not a big Avengers fan at this point.
What's that?
Should read Avengers Disassembled, not illustration ale bottle.
I'm sorry, it's a cool bottle.
I've heard good things. Ish, I don't know.
Or the Geoff Johns stuff that happened.
See, I was kind of...
Was that right before Disassembled? Yeah.
Maybe I'll start there.
Well, Geoff Johns and Disassembled was good, but I think my best Avengers story, my favorite Avengers story was when Bendis did New Avengers, the first story arc in New Avengers 1, where he really turned the franchise around. He made it a franchise. We talk about this all the time. Nick coined the phrase that he made it a franchise, and I agree with that. He made the Avengers the Justice League of the Marvel Universe. He brought all the main characters together, and
Luke Cage.
He made it about the character interactions.
He gave Luke Cage a point.
Luke Cage, Spider-Man, and Wolverine. Those were my Avengers.
And the Sentry,
yes.
Cap, Iron Man, Wolverine, Spider-Man.
Schizophrenia.
Those aren't Avengers. Iron Man.
They are now.
Spider-Man.
They are now.
Avengers
now. Another.
Cap, yes.
Don't forget Echo.
Echo, yes.
Daredevil now.
Luke Cage.
Red Hulk.
Daredevil.
Let's go back. Wait, who hasn't been an Avenger?
Right. That's what I'm saying. Classic Avengers are Iron Man, Cap,
Thor,
Wasp. Hawkeye. I'll even give you Hawkeye.
Ant-Man.
Not
Ant-Man. I would go so far as like
well,
that.
Well, no, I lied. She was with the Avengers.
What, Nick?
I would go so far as to, like, when I think of classic Avengers, I also include certainly the Avengers 16 lineup of Hawkeye, Quicksilver, Scarlet Witch.
I also
consider, like,
Vision.
Wonder Man, 57, Vision.
Yeah.
I don't know about Beast.
But not Spider-Man. Wolverine. How many books does he need to be in?
But if we're going
to
give crap about Wolverine and Spider-Man, let's give crap to, what's her name and her friends? Not Vixen. From Justice League. Because, I mean, they pretty ruined that book.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. But I'm just saying. Wolverine is not
all over the place.
We're just saying the Avengers is... But
you're crossing companies, man. You can't do that midstream.
It wasn't until you said Crossover.
Don't cross the streams.
I thought my first exposure to the Avengers was Miller's Ultimates, but it was actually... Way back when, in the 90s, when I had a Sega Genesis, I bought some video games off my friend, and I happened to buy the Avengers Sega Genesis game. And I don't
Isn't
know
that if... the best?
Yes. Oh, that was like the that was my favorite game from.
Do you remember
on.
The intros for each character? It was like Vision.
Yeah, and it was
the
same voice.
What's great right now is I don't know if Nick's really that delayed, but he's like, it looks like you're watching a bad Kung Fu movie.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I had to turn it. I couldn't look at it.
And the voice was the same for every character in that game. And that's when you said Quicksilver, that reminded me, because whenever you're low on health or when you get like halfway through a stage, Quicksilver will run by, and it's not even like a little first aid kit. He just drops this big blue disc, and then it's the same voice, no matter if you're playing as Captain America, Vision, Hawkeye, or Iron Man. It says, "Thank you, Quicksilver." And I couldn't get that out of my head as a kid. I thought that like,
that's Jarvis. Jarvis,
oh, really? Okay, yeah.
Was that part of the series of video games where you'd have four players simultaneous action moving around?
Yes, and it was the funnest thing ever. I played the heck out of that video game.
It was right around the same time as Maximum Carnage.
Yeah, it was. And I guess that's what introduced me to the Avengers, because, you know, the first stage you fight, was it Cyclone? The guy with the big green hat? And I was like, who the heck is this guy?
The big green hat.
Reaper, and it was, as I was a kid, I was like, this guy's, like, green, and he's spinning around being a tornado. All right, I'll go with it. And then I think there was, a whirlwind. Okay, not Cyclone. But, so that was my first
experience. That's one of Iron Man's rogues gallery.
That voice was actually consistent with the X-Men game that came out in that
I was going to say, there was an X-Men game, too, where it was, like, Cyclops.
Colossus.
Yeah, Colossus. I don't remember who else.
Nightcrawler.
So that was my Avengers exposure.
Wait,
but I
was that the Super Nintendo game, Sega game?
I played it in the arcade.
Yeah, I think that you like teamed up with the like Spider-Man. You fought Arcade. It was called Arcade's Revenge.
Oh, that was X-Men Spider-Man.
Yeah,
but anyway, that was my first exposure to the Avengers, and I just thought it was really cool. Just having those heroes. I'd read about them before, I knew about them, but I didn't know that they were a team.
Yeah, when us older guys were young, you could actually go to the mall and play video games.
Oh, no, yeah.
You didn't always play them at home.
Yeah,
you'd borrow like $10 from your mom and get tokens. And
there were still
tokens. No, you plug those quarters right in, man.
And you'd stand in line, like you'd have your little token on the Mortal Kombat machine.
It was a chain on Aladdin's Castle.
Yeah, I've heard of those.
Actually, according to one of your customers that's been living in this area for a while, this a building used to be an arcade.
Really?
No, the arcade used to be in the parking lot.
I thought John said it was here, and that was Pizza Hut.
But then when Pizza Hut moved out, it may have been here before.
Down.
I thought John said it was here.
He burned it down, that's right.
Hmm. Who did, John?
No.
We've solved the case.
There was like nothing.
Cold
here.
Case.
This was John built later, and that building was there before.
I thought John said this was it. Maybe it was right there.
But yes, I am old enough.
It's like a
microwave
next door.
I miss arcades.
I remember when it
was in a arcade called Skeleton.
It was called Christine. Oh yeah, we had a number of arcades.
That was kind of like a
microwave growing up. They were cool. I miss them. I miss Giggles and Penny Arcade.
Washington.
I learned how to smoke cigarettes.
Giggles.
Giggles
was awesome.
Hanging out at Central. You wouldn't know this reference, but hanging out at Century 3 bumming cigarettes.
Grass from
the arcade. Giggles.
So, what else?
Avengers Assembled.
Like, I remember, like, when the guy had the ash, you could beat him on Mortal Kombat.
What's our, this might be a short podcast.
So what's the next topic of Avengers, Nick? What are we talking? Favorite Avengers?
Fell asleep.
Well, like, it's funny, like, as early as I read comics, I didn't actually get into the Avengers until a pretty sad crossover, which was Blood Ties. You guys remember Blood Ties?
What I remember seeing it on the banner of a bunch of books. I've never read it.
It's 93. It was right around the time of like Fatal Attraction, and it was dealing with after Magneto gets his mind wiped. But it was back the Avengers era where everyone wore a really terrible leather jacket.
Mike Diodato was drawing it.
Yeah, and it was like Crystal and Circe and Black Knight.
Yes.
Classic Avengers.
That was horrible.
Now, Nick, was it a sad story, or was it a sad as in
it wasn't a very good story. I was reading because the X-Men crossed over, and Exodus was the villain, so...
So are there
anything with Fabian Cortez has got to be good.
Yes. I still love going when those books come in. Every third one had a foil embossed cover. And it's like 360, 363, 366. Every third one envisions coming through the cover. Oh, those were horrible.
What was the most overrated Avengers story? I'd say the Kree-Skrull War.
Oh, it's so boring.
It is. It really... I got the trade of that. I was very excited to read it.
Yeah.
That was...
When Secret Invasion was coming around, like, and it was going to be... They were coming back from when that happened. I'm like, I got to read this. And I bought the trade. That was the most painful 9 issues of a comic book I've ever read in my life. I mean, it must have taken me
a little jarring to go from Adams to Kane. I mean, both masters,
3 to 4 days of reading, too, because it's just so dense. I mean, it makes... It makes Perez on Superman right now look like sparse.
Well, they have some characters that I think only work as part of the Avengers. They try to put them in a miniseries or give them their own. But like the
Hawkeye?
You had mentioned the Vision. Like, I can't see the Vision being anything other than an Avenger.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's kind of like your. He's like DC's version of Martian Manhunter.
You mean Marvel's version of Martian Manhunter?
Yeah, same thing.
Actually, he is exactly Marvel's version of Red Tornado. Or
yeah, that's the way I'd see it, though. But it's kind of like personality wise, they always have that type of character. But yeah, you always see that kind of character.
Yeah, but you got a Vision had kids, man.
Not when or I was, did not he? Not when I was reading.
Well, I guess we'll find out in Avengers Children of Crusade.
Yeah, once we don't know.
Nick, can Red Tornado change his density?
Have you guys ever read Avengers Forever?
No, I've heard good things about it, but I haven't.
That's my favorite Avengers of all time, but it's like the last book you'd ever give somebody who doesn't already know the continuity.
Did you say Forever?
Yeah.
Jermaine talked me into buying the omnibus of it. Was it came out? I think it came out like 2 years ago, the oversized hardcover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was that music?
Yeah. Like
and what's cool about it is it's like a different member of Avengers teams throughout history, plucked to be on like one team to do like this time travel. They're fighting Immortus and Kang, and it's like every era of Avengers is touched upon.
Even the Children Avengers.
Well, they haven't been created yet.
It was sarcasm.
But Immortus is Kang, and I guess that's because, again, I didn't get it. And then it was the Captain America from, you know, the angry Captain America. And So each of the characters wasn't, like, at their peak.
Okay. Mm.
So they were all, even though they were for different times, they weren't pulled at their best time.
So is Tony sober in that book?
Is he sober in any book?
He's well, right now, if you read Iron Man, he's been sober for like 8 days or whatever they say in the intro.
I feel bad. The last issue that came out, and I had no interest in reading it.
Yeah.
That one's just totally lost me.
Oh, I think it's getting good again. Same with Avengers. I think the Avengers story is great.
I can't give it a chance.
What, Iron Man or Avengers?
I can't give it a second. Like, I can't just keep on picking up a book. Iron Man. I just can't get back into it.
Jeremy says...
I wasn't going to wait for him to take that long to get...
You know how Jeremy says he'll buy a Hawkman book, or Hawkman book?
No matter what.
I'll buy an Iron Man book if it's out. I don't care. Miss Marvel, Iron Man, I mean, it doesn't matter who's writing or drawing. I would buy either of those, regardless, and read it.
I just got kind of bored with the story.
And that's a problem I was looking at today, just... Somebody was complaining about Uncanny X-Force coming out again. It was Justin, actually. It was, like, another one. And we looked, and it's been 5 issues in the last 8 weeks.
Oh, and they got to get Tachini off that and order. Oh, my Lord.
I was looking at my sales numbers, and I've lost a third of my sales.
Well, I don't know if it's because of how frequently it's coming out. It's because of how bad it is.
One or the other. But the problem is I'm not going to get those people back. No matter what they do, people won't come back. Like Iron Man, like I said. I loved Iron Man, and then I got bored with it. And
well, you got bored during Fear Itself.
Yeah, but a lot of people.
Yeah,
did.
It took a lot.
And it's hard. To get back it's hard to get people
even before
back.
Before that, it was.
And now
taking a lot
we're
to
going
to
into it. Another event. Because
I'll tell you right. I mean,
you
well, it's not going to tie to the event. At least they said
Iron Man won't.
They said only the books that have like Avengers or X-Men in the title will. So we'll see.
We'll see.
But to be honest, right now, as somebody who's reading it and enjoying it, it's a solid book. But it's not a book that if you came in and said, "What should I be reading?" It's not a book I would jump out and say. It's not Batman. It's not Blue Estate. It's not Black Panther. It's not any of those books where I'd be like, oh, you should read this. It's a, well, if you like Iron Man or you like the Avengers, yeah, it's a good book. But
We would know by now, though, if a book was going to tie into this.
Not necessarily.
Really?
Not,
I mean, unless it was going to tie in like later on in the series.
All I'm going by is the interviews they've done with Quesada and Alex Alonso and Revoir did say only the books that have X-Men or Avengers in the titles were tying in this time.
Yeah.
That's the only comment, you know, I haven't seen anything.
I think mainly what I'm going to stick to in this is just getting the main book.
You should get the Versus
whatever
book.
I'm already getting.
Gabriel said it's total fan fiction.
So
it's
what?
Just total.
So was that X-Men Fear Itself tie-in, but it was awesome.
As long as it gives you the story of what's going on, I'll just read that part. I'm not gonna jump all of it.
I'll read it all. But that's not surprising to anybody sitting here.
But I didn't do that.
EVX Frontline, EVX Young Avengers.
They said they're not doing all that.
EVX Venom.
But that's kind of what I do with my books anyways. I did that with Fear Itself, and I did that with Flashpoint. Yeah, I kind of just get what
Fear
I...
Fear Itself kind of hurt
what's
me because...
What
Flashpoint
enjoy.
Was just...
Fear Itself...
I'm a Marvel hater.
Fear Itself was the first time where I stopped...
Flashpoint was so much fun.
Fear Itself was the first time I stopped buying tie-ins for a miniseries event, for an event.
So did everybody else.
Fearsome 4.
God, I think one of them...
Deep.
I sold two copies of...
I bought one.
I bought one of number one. I didn't buy number two.
I'm in number four, yeah.
Definitely. Fearsome 4, with Howard the Duck.
And I'm a Howard the Duck fan, but it just...
But you're a Howard the Duck fan of... Colin, not... Joe Blow, D-list artist with a horrible writer.
They've really changed a
Joe
lot
Blow,
of these
I don't
artists.
Remember Joe Blow.
Howard the
Doctor. Joe Fellow's cousin.
See his Wikipedia page? It's crazy.
Yeah. Hey, Colin. Early on in our podcast, we discussed one of your customers was ordering everything Fear Itself, and he was going to wait until the whole package was finished to read it. Did that guy ever read it?
It's not so much one, it's a kid who...
He reads everything, and he has
every
a
event
Nick,
type thing,
and he has a Nick-like memory. Like I've talked to the kid about stuff, and he'll be like, "But in X-Men 6, page 4, page 3, so and so said blah," and you open the book, and he's quoting it to you, word bubble for word bubble.
But they'll come in and buy 300 at a chunk. Like he's a
sophomore, junior in high school, and his mom rewards him. I think.
Yeah. What's our next Avengers question?
I have the X-Men 6, by the way.
He's been asking.
I made that book up. I just...
I have a 7, up. I think. Here.
Really? 6 is cool with Submariner.
But yeah,
I have two copies of the one with... I think it's the first Kang.
First Kang?
Yeah.
Oh, that's Avengers 8.
8. Okay, I had two of that.
Yeah,
I had the one
book.
With Spider-Man and the big web
Stump
on the cover.
Work some week.
Yes, we should.
I think it's like maybe 10 or 11.
We should.
Yeah, 11.
Yeah.
Nick, we're going to have a new customer segment. We're going to have Stump Nick. We're going to start soliciting questions to stump you.
It's good luck. I mean, I just want to say that.
The gauntlet is thrown.
Yeah, geez.
Try it. Bring it.
No, there's a lot of stuff I don't know. There's just so much to know.
First appearance of Black Widow.
It's a Tales of Suspense book, but I don't remember.
Oh, well, first try, Nick, and I stump you. First Hawkeye.
Also in Tales of Suspense.
59, I think.
That's just because I had it and you sold it to somebody.
So, I still know it.
I don't think the game works if you're trying to stump yourself.
Yeah.
I've heard Matt likes to do that.
Well, you know.
Whoa.
57. Black Widow was 52.
Yeah.
But well played there, Nick.
But Black Widow is one of my favorite.
I have 51 for Scarecrow.
I liked her because she had a Catwoman costume.
I liked her because she was a hot Russian redhead.
You have a Catwoman
costume?
No, no. I know somebody has a Black Widow costume that Matt sold to him.
Yeah, thank God for the hand sanitizer. This guy buys some stuff that makes
you
just...
Oh, we can do comic book store stories. We could have our own comic book book.
This guy, like, you sell him some stuff and you gotta, like, get the hand sanitizer and you're pumping it on and, like, you go home and shower. It's just...
What are we talking about?
I don't know what Matt's talking
you
about.
You brought up Black Widow costume.
Only because the reaction it gets out of
control. Nick, quick, Avengers question.
Let me think here. Alright, what's your dream lineup? If you had eight characters, who's your dream lineup?
Okay.
Hawkeye. Alternate Hawkeye. Hawkette.
Ultimate Hawkeye.
Kid Hawkeye.
Brother.
Hawkhead.
Hawk Dog.
Dog Eye.
Dog Eye.
Dead Hawk.
Is there a cat too?
Hawk Pool.
Black Eye.
Hawk Pool. Anybody have a dream lineup?
I'm working on it. Hang on. Sorry.
Everybody, write your answers down.
I'm doing it. Right. I need an 8. Damn.
All right. So in order to kill time, right? Iron Man, Hulk, or Iron Man, Thor, or Captain America, right? That's the core for everybody.
In my opinion, yeah.
Okay. They're the Trinity, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, you can't go against that.
Peter Gurich. I forgot. I like him. Yeah.
Henry.
Oh, Henry. Henry, you're right. I'm sorry.
Is that York?
Guy? No. Yeah, sweet haircut.
Yes.
All right, so we got the core. There's the core. I would have Miss Marvel, Black Widow. Wait, these are the...
Oh, Dr. Voodoo. Yeah.
Wait, this is a very comic book men divergent stuff topic here with Miss Marvel, Black Widow, Wasp.
Thank you.
Are you choosing these female characters over their skills of crime fighting, or
no? There was an Avengers annual where the three of them were sitting out in bikinis at some point.
That's what led.
Oh, that was that. That's actually
that was referenced in Disassembled. Disassembled. Mm.
I thought,
and the boys became men.
Scarlet Witch.
Well, that's when,
are sitting.
Yeah, there's one. Yeah. It was more recent.
Okay, Nick.
Miss Marvel.
I got mine.
I can't think of it right.
All right, here's mine. Captain America, Thor, Iron Man. And then it's Hank Pym, Hawkeye, Quicksilver, Miss Marvel, and Vision.
So okay. Okay, mine's a little different.
Miss Marvel's my modern one, just because I don't think anybody else. Like, she's just a powerhouse. She should be an Avenger.
Who, Miss Marvel?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she led the Mighty Avengers.
I don't know what else she would do.
Okay, I did Cap, Iron Man, Thor, Hawkeye, Scarlet Witch and Vision, Yellow Jacket, and the Wasp.
You guys are letting a wife beater on the Avengers?
So you like Hank Pym as Yellow Jacket, huh?
Well, the Ant-Man, Giant-Man thing never made a lot of sense, so Yellow Jacket kind of compassed everything.
What did Yellow Jacket do?
What about calling him Wasp?
Male Wasp.
No.
He talked to bugs, shrank himself, and grew would be my guess.
Yeah, I think he
I don't remember what Yellow Jacket did. I just like that
guy. I think Ryan's on it. I think he did both.
Yeah.
And he did Ant-Man both. Didn't usually do. That would be weird, Ant-Man. I couldn't think of one that an original one, but I would actually go with their main team that they had for a while, which was, you know, Cap, Thor, Iron Man, Quicksilver, Scarlet Witch, you know, characters like that. I always liked that original team. Not the original, but, you know, the one right after.
Shocking nobody said the Hulk.
I was just thinking about that. I guess I put the Hulk on
two issues.
I just don't know.
He's unreliable.
That's yeah, I mean. That's the thing.
The Hulk is not reliable.
Early.
He's not a team player.
He's not going to be there.
Well, I like the way they treated him in Ultimates, where he was just they said he was a WMD. You know, they just kick him out of the aircraft carrier and hope he hulks out before he hits the ground and then tell him what to smash and then pick him up later. But in the cartoon, in Earth's Mightiest Heroes, I like what they did with Hulk there, because Hulk actually has more of a mind. He doesn't just smash things, and they convinced him to stick around for a while. I forget. I think Thor challenged him. Thor was like, "I can smash more things than you."
I think Earth's Heroes is a good introduction to the Avengers. It's well done.
I was just going
to
say that.
Hulk had a trademark on Smash.
Well,
Superhero Squad, he's actually got a sense of humor.
Really?
The Hulk cracks jokes.
Yeah, he's
burps and.
Yeah, well, that's he had a sense of humor in Earth's Mightiest Heroes. They were. There was some bomb or something that Kang had planted, and it was a Kree destruction robot, and it was going to explode. So Thor had to, like, fly it into space to chuck it into the sun, and he, like, passed out on the way down, and somebody caught him. And he was like, oh, verily, I could have made it to the Earth myself. And Hulk was like, wuss. I was like, all right, that's the kind of Hulk I like.
It's great having Ryan back, because not only do we get, like, Morrison and insights, we get fake Thor accents.
I like the Stan Lee one he does.
Oh, that's when I suggest. Oh, because I think it was on Saturday you said that.
You
we brought up Stan Lee.
Yeah, Adam said that he might have a cameo as Stan the Librarian in the Spider-Man. I said, I hope he says, "Hey, be quiet down there." And that's all he'll say. I'd be fine with that. But I'm sorry. Hulk on Avengers. I would have Hulk on Avengers.
Is Nick Fury
and
Avenger?
Stan the Librarian?
No.
Why not?
Has the Punisher ever been an Avenger?
No.
Well, in Ultimates he was. But
yeah.
That doesn't count.
That was Black Panther.
That was Ultimates 3. And
yeah.
Ultimates
isn't real.
Ultimate Comics Ultimates 3.
Anything after Ultimates 2 we don't talk about.
Yeah.
Was that pre or post Ultimatum?
Post Ultimatum.
He shot Spider-Man.
Well, technically he was trying to shoot Cap.
I didn't say what he was trying to.
It was
that.
That's not what killed him, though.
It weakened him.
It did open the door.
For Miles Morales.
Who?
Miles Morales.
Oh, I canceled it then.
You don't, have, they don't have a guest that. Calling in.
So wait,
there was a lot of hate.
Nick, did you buy, would the first appearance of Miles Morales been a good speculation comic?
Yeah,
they're giving that thing away.
This probably would have been the best podcast for Bendis to be at, actually.
I'm sure our tone would be.
I had my questions. I was all ready.
I
wanted to ask when the Ultron thing's happening. When is Scarlet coming back?
I was going to ask him about his writing process.
How does he like
being... That's next week. We're trying to get Bendis. Does anybody think he looked like call. Mike Myers?
Well, I would have asked him. I would have been asking
all
stupid questions.
Hey, this is very boring, so bring up a topic.
Avengers related or not?
It doesn't matter. Just something so we're talking about something.
What do you think of Jarvis?
Exactly.
I like him as a human.
Not as a Skrull.
Lot as a robot, like he is in some of the.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
I don't like when Jarvis is like the home automation system. He's like the X-10 for the Avengers.
Now here's a question.
Do you guys disagree that the fact that the Avengers shouldn't essentially be the Justice League of Marvel, that they shouldn't be? Because you know, by all rights, if it was the premier characters of Marvel, it would be Spider-Man, Captain America, Hulk, Iron Man. I don't know.
Thor and Wolverine.
Wolverine, Thor,
Deadpool,
Blade. No, but or you know what I mean? Like, should it be or Silver Surfer? Like, should it really be like the Justice League, or should it be the classic Avengers?
I don't think it really any of it ever is. You mean if it's similar to?
Well, aren't those books supposed to be like the premier characters and a team up to make everybody? I mean, I think Avengers and JLA in my mind are the books. If you like comics, you should read them. That's what they should be. I'm not saying that's what they are, but that's what they should be.
I would say that they found a way to make the Justice League of the Marvel Universe work when the Avengers were on the run and it was the substitute Captain America, because it would not make sense to get, like Silver Surfer gets his buddy Namor and Captain America and brings them up to their satellite to hang
not
out.
Not like the Defenders.
No, Brother Eye.
No, I mean, it made Avengers. Sense to bring those characters together and have them interact with each other in ways that we haven't seen before, and maybe some new interactions. And it was, you know, street level characters on the run. It was cool.
Of the new characters that were classically never Avengers, but recently have been, who do you guys like? You know, like a Spider-Man, a Luke Cage, etc. Like, who do you guys like as an Avenger that has classically never been categorized as that?
Nick, can you sit your iPad down so we're not getting the Blair Witch effect over here?
I like Bucky.
Gotta
Captain
go get the
America's,
pizza, man.
I like Bucky, Captain America's uniform. I like the way he fit into the team.
I'm actually a fan of Luke Cage being on the Avengers.
Squirrel Girl, man.
And I think I like him being on it because he's one of those characters that actually fits why he's on it. You know, he's not a book that he's not a character from a book that really sells if it, you know, at
he
all.
He can't support his own. They tried
it. Yeah, exactly.
Twice.
Right. And even a lot of those characters that are on Avengers aren't. Like, even Hawkeye, like...
What
I don't
are you
think
talking about?
He's supporting
the whole 616 right now, man.
Yeah, but that's a problem.
Not
though.
His own
nobody's,
but
nobody's
everyone else's.
Like Wolverine, he can survive on so many books, but Luke Cage, he actually fits this team and being on a team. So.
But, like, I don't like Daredevil on the Avengers. He,
I don't
it
either.
Doesn't work in any
But, you know,
way.
It's kind of weird, like, the way I think Bendis is writing that well, because he's not.
Have they had any issues with
not
him?
Really.
In?
Yeah,
two or three.
He's actually done.
He doesn't seem like a team.
I don't like
it
when
he's not a team player. He's not a.
And he never
not,
wanted to be on it.
Right.
That's
he's not.
A,
he's not a.
But
team
that's why
guy.
I think he's there, he's writing it that well because you barely notice he's there. Like he's still. He's there, but he's kind of off doing his own thing.
But then there's not really a point of him being there. It's just kind of like magic. Just throw him on there just to say he's on there. You know.
I blame Colin because I think Deodato liked drawing him so much when he was here. Did he ask Bendis to put him into the book?
That's your fault.
Okay, I'll take the heat for that. But yeah, that one doesn't make sense to me.
To me, the one that, you know, classically not an Avenger that joined up in the last few years that I really like is Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but he changed
sense.
His costume. I don't know about this white.
I don't like the costume change either, but just the fact that he has not only the money, but a unique trait about him that, you know, makes him stand out. Like, those guys are all... You know, they have superpowers or whatever, but I don't know how many of them are actually, you know, they fight for a living, but he's the best fighter in the group.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't it depend on who the threat is? So if the threat is more alien or space or out there, then some of the more earthbound heroes don't really make that fit. Like, I always had a problem when even, I hate to jump back over to DC, but they would always take the, you know, put Batman in a bubble and then fly him through space. You know?
Well, that makes me think of that Secret Avengers cover that's coming up, which makes no sense, with the Beast in a suit being carried by Thor to fight in outer space. It's like,
well, he can't breathe.
Well, does that go with the spider?
I understand, so why do you bring him out there? Yeah. He has no place at being there. That's all.
Oh. What if they get into a fight which surprises him and he like closes off that bubble and he just
Well, no, he's got a spacesuit on, but it's his brain. I mean, that's why you take Beast to space. They took him out there when they had that whole Nick Fury LMD sentient thing. Sentient LMD, his brother Jake or whatever.
You know this new Avengers team up though with the or not team up this new Avengers book. How you were saying that Daredevil doesn't fit. If there's any Avengers team though he does fit, it's this one, because most of the characters are like Marvel Knights characters.
Yeah, they're all street level.
Which comes back to the whole space thing. It's kind of funny if they ever had to take on anybody from space, that team would not be.
That's
the
why
one
you
to
send
do.
The Secret Avengers.
So they go with Avengers.
Avengers.
Yeah,
I think Jessica Jones is my favorite new Avenger.
All you ever see her is carrying around a baby.
She's the new Jarvis.
No, Squirrel Girl's the new Jarvis. I mean,
but you just
no.
Even in
no,
the last issue,
the
all
nanny.
She did was she carried
the
baby.
Is Long.
That's not Long. That's Doctor Strange's personal assistant. Like,
that's Long.
Yeah, but I'm saying he's not the new cook.
He wouldn't let her in the kitchen.
Yeah.
He was like, stay out of my kitchen.
That's his cover.
No, he was telling Jarvis.
Do you read this book?
Yes, that's his cover, man.
Said it was his favoriteest book of all time.
I don't know about that.
Said that!
When?
I'm actually enjoying
New Avengers
22. I'm enjoying New Avengers right now a lot more than I'm enjoying...
That cover's awesome.
No drinks on the table.
The regular Avengers book.
Captain America. Captain Cola. Captain Cold.
Okay, let's get off Avengers, because we're struggling.
We just did. Sorry.
You lost me.
There's a little Viking in action right over here.
Ryan. Let's segue into our...
Into our what?
Our discussion of stuff we like, because we love stuff. But Ryan, what did you read lately you liked?
I came in on Saturday.
Was it Avengers?
It wasn't. Wonder Woman 2-6, and I started picking up some of the Blue Beetle. I'd only read issue 1 of Blue Beetle from the relaunch when that came out. And Wonder Woman's really good. I really like it. I can't wait to keep getting that monthly, because I like what Azrael is doing with that. And I never thought I would say that, because I don't really like anything else Azrael has written. I like the Batman Night of Vengeance thing for Flashpoint. But I like that because it was its own self-contained thing, and it was Batman. But I'm liking what he's doing with the mythology in Wonder Woman. I'm liking how it's... He's doing that updated sort of thing where I think Rucka did it, where the Greek gods are portrayed as people, but they still have weird aspects to them. Like Apollo has, you know, all black skin.
Neptune's not real people.
No, sorry, yeah, no. Actually, that's true. He's not. Yeah, yeah. He's a giant awful.
What was up with the Hades? I didn't quite get that.
I don't understand the candles either. No. But I like that he's like a little kid.
He had
he's
an
like
accident.
A little brother, but. And then Blue Beetle, I'm liking a lot. I went back and reread the first issue. That's Tony Bedard. He's also writing New Guardians. And that was why I went back and picked that up, because apparently there's going to be a New Guardians Blue Beetle crossover.
What?
Yeah, the Reach is going to attack the Blue Lantern homeworld, and I'm okay with that. As long as the Green Lanterns are fighting someone who aren't
other
Lanterns.
Attack Blue? So.
Yeah, exactly. Blue attacks Blue.
Fair enough.
And, but yeah, I'm liking those. Those are good. And still chugging through Journey into Mystery. As you mentioned, Colin was checking out tonight. I'm almost caught up, so.
Yeah, good. Adam.
Me?
Spider-Man. Okay.
No.
Joe.
No.
Oh, sorry.
I want to mention two, but one came out today, so I don't want to talk about it. I just want to throw it out there. But
you can talk about it. Just don't, spoil it.
It'll be kind of difficult. I'll talk about it a little bit. The first one is last week was Batman. I just love this book. Each issue just keeps me coming back for the next, even though it's on my pull list anyway, so you're going to force me to buy it.
Force is a strong word.
You can drop a book at any time.
Tell that to my arm that was bent behind my back.
I said you were silly to not want to be.
And the bruises. but yeah, it's a really... The last issue that came out, how they're setting it up, and basically it's on. they're going... He's done with this the court of Alice. So.
I did like how when he had defeated that one character and the other people are like, okay, we'll just discard it. He's done.
He's done.
You can't come back from a beating like that. It's like...
And they have tons more where that
yes.
came from. Yeah, the talent.
Yes.
Now, see, I have to reread it, but I thought... I did not think 6 was as good as 5. I thought 5 was a better
issue. I think they helped each other.
I mean, it just continued on.
Yeah.
It felt like a letdown after 5.
I don't know. When they mentioned that they're just... That one's done, and there's tons
did
more...
Did you turn
that
it around
back.
And read it upside down?
And then seeing the sketches today of the Talon.
Yeah, from the different
They have the different eras and stuff like that. They're not just from, like, now. They're from past, like, Talon.
This cover of All-Star Western that came out today makes me want to go... I only read 1 and 2... And it makes me want to go back and read the rest. That cover is great.
Last thing, so.
That's one of my favorite books.
The other book that I read today that I just am enjoying a lot, it's just a fun read, is Aquaman. This last issue just keeps adding on to it. The characters they add, like even Aquadog, that's fun. They haven't given him a name, but he did call him Aquadog.
Oh, that was the dog he inherited
found.
Or whatever. Yeah.
And this issue is kind of more about Mira.
Right. She's on the cover.
And it's basically her living, her getting used to living on land. And how she doesn't think the same way as Aquaman would. But it's just, basically it's her old mission of going to get dog food for the dog. But it's just, it was a fun read, just all the way through. And I think Jeff Johns is just putting his all into this book. Because a lot of his other books, I've been either, you know, here or there. With this book, I really think he's doing something with Aquaman, and we haven't seen that for a while, so.
What's he writing besides that?
Justice League. He's writing Flash? No, he's not writing Flash. Green Lantern. That's right. And Green Lantern has been kind of disappointing, I think.
Top seller.
Sells well, yeah. I haven't read the last issue.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm behind on everything, so that doesn't
I'm sure
really
it'll
mean
get to somewhere, but it seems like it's getting nowhere.
Johns is not a fast storyteller. I mean,
but
no,
he likes to issue arcs.
There's a guy that's been coming in Sunday that keeps going, all right, what do I read to get caught up on Blackest Night? And I'm like, Blackest Night took about 2 years to build up to, and then about a year to come out.
But that was cool. I missed that. I wish, you know, that's one of the complaints about AVX is nothing has been going on in recent Avengers or recent X-Men to build up to this, where Blackest Night kind of started and you got a little bit here, a little bit there, and then it, you know, built up at the end big.
Children's Crusade is building up into AVX.
Yeah, it's on a quarterly book. You know, that's the only book. It's not bi-monthly.
No.
We have 8 issues out. We have 24 of Avengers. That's not bi-monthly.
Even if I feel like Jones' writing style is getting even more drawn out lately, that is something that he's really good at. I mean, even in his first Flash run, there would be little hints and things dropped, and you would know that this confrontation's coming.
Yeah.
Maybe 15, 20 issues later, but it's going to get there, and when it gets there, it's really worth it.
You actually saw that a lot in Flashpoint.
Even things where you had the Sinestro Corps war, where, you know, defeats Sinestro, and then all of a sudden, then turns around, we need your help.
Yeah.
You know, and so you, and, you know, kept
but
things going.
It feels like since Blackest Night, though, the payoffs are beginning less and less, and it's not worth reading.
With Green Lantern, I feel.
Yeah.
That's
I mean,
the
I
thing
but with Aquaman, I mean, we have that great throwaway line from, was it issue 2? When he drugged the trench thing to the doctor, and the guy's like, oh, you still got that trident. He's going to want that back. And Aquaman's like, don't worry about it. I'm like, no, I'm going to worry about that.
Whose is that? And then after, well, I mean, it might not be the same, but after seeing Poseidon, everybody said, oh, it must be Poseidon's, but then you see Poseidon and Wonder Woman, it's like, what use would he have for a trident?
I'll give you a little bit of hands on this issue.
Yeah.
It seems like it's going towards something. No.
Okay, it was Bob's.
Yeah.
Gorilla Bob's?
Cool.
It was Gorilla Bob.
Yeah. It was his fork.
That's what he ate his bananas with.
Okay,
I got scared because in the book I read, they had a Bob.
Oh.
Well, what did you read?
I read Venom by Daniel Way, available in the Ultimate Trade Collection.
Ooh.
Where? Only. No, not only.
Only.
It's here on the shelf.
It is here on the shelf. So.
Now, this is the 19, like, or 2000 series?
Yeah. I was talking to Joe F. about it before we started recording, so. He said I was going to give it a bad review, which is not true. I enjoyed the book. I guess. Because it's a fairly thick trade, I was expecting the story to have a little more weight. So,
You were talking about the Sam Keith covers.
Yeah,
really put you on.
They give you the cover art. So they got these great Mike Deodato and Sam Keith covers, but none of those guys do any of the interiors, and none of them do any of the issues. So, especially with the Sam Keith stuff, because I happen to like his art, I would have liked to see at least one Sam Keith issue in there.
This was a time when Marvel was doing a lot of experimentation with graffiti-influenced art and manga-influenced art.
And so it's got the Scotty Young issues in the back, but all of the all of the artists kind of fit that bigger eyes, exaggerated kind of cartoony style. The beginning of the book reminded me very much of John Carpenter's The Thing. So with the Venom or some Venom, because you don't know.
Okay.
You don't know in the beginning in Antarctica and trying to escape and get back to civilization. There's a big battle with Wolverine, complete with nuclear explosion. apparently a nuke is not enough to take Wolverine out. I never knew that. So he came back from that, and ultimately, and I guess this is my only complaint was how the story ended, because it seemed like it took away from everything that had happened up until that point. So at the end, there's two Venoms that meet, and you don't know what that means. So it was basically a journey, a fight, more of a journey, and then a coupling, and then the end. Oh, God, it's like a Lord of the Rings movie.
following the series, the Venom symbiote was auctioned off, and Mac Gargan got it in an auction.
Is that how he got...
Yeah.
Okay, I never knew
it
how...
It was in Miller's Marvel Knights... Spider-Man.
Okay,
because
I was reading something
else. It was a mob boss's son that won the auction.
There's no trade for that, though.
Yeah, is there? It's Mark Miller's Marvel Knights Spider-Man Ultimate Collection.
Okay, Nick, so maybe you can answer me this. I think there's a loose thread in here. So during one of the fights with the Fantastic Four, the Human Torch cuts the tongue, or part of the tip of the tongue, off of one of the Venoms, and these kids take it and try to sell it on eBay, and the lights go out, and then that's it.
They become Toxin or whatever that one was?
No, Toxin was a miniseries. It had its own. That was a spawn of Carnage.
There were so many of them.
So
that's Spider Side, Nick.
Spider Side.
Spider Side's the greatest Spider-Man character of all time. I
just came across that, and that had a chromium cover.
Hey.
Yeah.
I'm going
Omega.
Yes.
I'm going back to what Wolverine could survive here that Sean brought up here just a minute ago, that he survived the nuclear...
Nuclear.
You
sound like the president.
Nuclear blast.
Poor president.
He also survived, and this is one thing I could never...
Steamroller.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But, Nick,
he was ripped in half. Oh, no, sorry. That was
Nick, who was the character who started Civil War? The one in Stanford.
Nitro.
When Nitro fought him, because Wolverine goes after Nitro in the Wolverine series of Civil War.
Yeah,
and he wants revenge. And I think he actually burns most of, like,
yeah, he burns
him
down to his
skeleton. Yeah. And he's just adamantium.
And he grows back.
And he grows right backwards.
Like 3 pages later, he's on a motorcycle, and he's like, I'm all right.
Yeah.
How's that work?
Thank you for remembering that.
I don't know.
I was trying to think of when he was a skeleton.
But if we're talking
he's essentially Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah. If we're talking about the Ultimate Universe, though, he cannot survive anything because...
He's dead, yeah.
Well, at the end of that book, they kind of hint to you that his hand is, or some part of him is still floating around in the ocean.
So, I like the writer Daniel
Mack, so whatever.
So who knows?
I think Daniel tells a okay story, but it's always light on content.
It makes me kind of sad when, creators fall out of favor with the big two, and they just disappear. Like, Daniel Way's not doing anything now.
Well, and they ruined... to Ken by putting the worst writer Marvel uses.
I know.
Like, you want to get a book? You
want
to get a book canceled? You put Rob Williams on that thing.
Yeah,
that book is done in 3 months flat. Doesn't matter. Yeah, I mean, he can get Avengers canceled.
It was about 12 issues, but
I don't think that's the case. I think they knew it was canceled, then they put him on it.
Yeah, that could be happening too. But I mean, that guy's
seriously
out
now for
Peter.
Like all the DC books before the New 52, how they just threw these people on here.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, they're not going to last.
Yeah, I remember I wanted to see where that Doomsday storyline was going in action.
Oh.
And all of a sudden, Rockerford's off. And they're like, yeah, he's working on something else. So we have this guy just to finish up because we got to get through this. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
Do you know the book this week that actually was my favorite book?
I couldn't even guess, Nick.
It stars Hawkeye.
Avengers Solo.
Well, no, he hasn't read this week's book yet.
Avenging Spider-Man.
Oh.
I actually really enjoyed it. I thought that it showed a different angle on Hawkeye, you know, why he does what he does, why he's so annoying, kind of. But I'm a big fan of Spider-Man going on patrol with other superheroes, and then they realize, or they don't realize, but they should, that he's much better than they are at being a superhero.
Yeah.
He's been doing it longer than almost everybody. And his methodology is sound, and he's just really good at it.
Spider-Man. Since 1962?
But since he was a kid, though.
Right.
I mean, those other guys, if you figure out the continuity, like a Hawkeye or whatever, like, he probably has been in, what, 10 years? But Peter would have had it been at least, like, 10, 15.
What do you think he is? He was probably 14 or 15 when he became Spider-Man, and he's now, what, 28, 29?
Yeah.
Plus, he was doing it by himself.
Yeah.
Think about it that
self-taught.
Way.
Yeah, no rules. He had to make his own rules up. And he screwed up every way, so he figures that's a good way to learn.
Yeah.
That seems to be what they let the kids at the Avengers Academy do there for a while. Hey, whatever you guys don't do this, now we're going to leave you alone for 10 minutes, and then exactly that's what they go do.
Yeah, that book took a weird twist. That last story arc was a little weird, for lack of a better word. Like,
did they have the softball game issue with the X-Men yet?
That's AVX Zero.
Is it? They're going to play baseball first, and that decides who throws the first punch.
Right, because then, Wolverine slides in and takes out Cap, who is the catcher, and everybody gets into a big fight.
So which shield, what would win, the claws or the shield?
We'll have to find out. That's versus one.
It should be the shield.
Because the shield's vibranium and adamantium, so it should stop the claws, right?
But it's got a crack.
But can't vibranium only absorb a certain amount of energy before it explodes?
It absorbs impact, so...
Wouldn't that screw up Cap's arm? Wouldn't that energy have to transfer somewhere?
It's comic books. You can't go that far.
Really?
What?
I mean, it's basic physics.
The science doesn't work?
Well, that's what I'm thinking. The vibranium is supposed to absorb any sort of kinetic energy, so wouldn't it just absorb the vibration and stop it immediately? That's what I'm
saying.
But
wouldn't that shatter Cap's front arm?
Science. That's what I'm saying. Maybe it doesn't transfer the vibration to his arm.
There's got
to
be a book about this.
He's a super soldier.
The reason why I found out this so much is because one of my friends in college asked me lightsaber versus Captain America's shield, and I was like, man. And,
questions.
Yeah. No, I don't know, though. But can it...
Because it's a plot
energy? We're not going to go there.
We don't know because that's Star Wars technology in a galaxy.
If that's like
plasma
versus...
How much metachlorites does the person using the saber have?
That's
exactly.
Those don't exist.
I would hate to drop a lightsaber and it just, like, goes through the...
They weren't in my movies.
All the way to China. Because we all know China is all the way down there.
Anyway.
Colin.
Yeah.
Do your X-Men fans know what this week is?
Apparently, it's not.
I don't know what this was. Well, I don't know.
It's the week where everything comes out.
Oh, yes. I was looking at next week's invoice going, wow, it would have been nice if they could have held one X title back for next week.
Is Wolverine the X-Men this week?
Yeah.
It's Wolverine the
X-Men. Yeah. Wolverine and the X-Men. Deadpool, Magneto is not a hero. New Mutants.
Oh, that's all today.
Yeah, X-Men, X-Men
Legacy. X-Men Vampires.
Yep.
Is Vampires in an X-Men book?
That is not, but it could be.
It's got vampires in it.
It does have vampires in it. Wow, yeah, no, it's
but
yeah,
it's not
I saw
Nick
that.
And Gishler, so we're good.
I'm like, you guys, it's a 5-week month and you couldn't have spread it out a little bit? I mean, hey, we didn't get X-Factor or Generation Hope. I think those are the only two that didn't come out today.
Wow.
What was the
X-Factor? Oh, astonishing, but... We don't even know if one's coming out this month.
Wasn't there an X book last week that had like that pop art crazy color?
That was X Factor, yes. But yeah, no, I hate when they do that. Yeah, no, X Factor's great, but I hate when they clump everything like that.
It's X week.
Drives me crazy.
Clumpage.
Joe, what do you read you liked?
The Question by Cully Hamner and Greg Rucka.
That's a good
one. It was the Batwoman.
Oh, the backups. The backups from the Batwoman.
Very interesting that you list the artist. first on that.
Well, he made it for me, actually. Yeah, I mean, the Cully Hamner
artwork. You're making me hungry, dude. Got to turn you away. Sorry.
The why is that interesting to you?
Well, just typically everybody says writer artist, and you said artist writer, and I just
Cully Hamner made it cool to me. I like Greg Rucka, but it was that Cully Hamner's artwork has a certain energy to it, and the way that he drew Renee Montoya, it made her look very athletic and very young. And I'm used to seeing Renee Montoya and thinking to myself that she doesn't look sexy, she doesn't look hot, she doesn't look athletic. But he made her look like someone that I wanted to read. He drew her in a way I wanted to see her more often. Boy, that's where I thought
that was going.
I like that series. I like that series.
I did like those. Yeah, they were good.
I thought those were good.
Are they in a trade now?
Yeah.
You're reading them?
That's what he read.
It's out of print, actually. Sorry, guys.
It's. I wish they would have resolved that story a little better, though. I mean, you read it. Does anyone else read it? Do you mind if I...
It's been a year since
she gets the mark of Cain off of Vandal Savage, and then she kind of disappears. Well, you don't know if she does or not, but then it just kind of all of a sudden got...
That was at the end of, Books of Blood or whatever
The Crisis? It was Books of Blood, then Final Crisis Revelation, then this.
That's right. That's what the Revelation is.
Yeah, so at the end of this, she gets the mark of... Well, you don't know if she gets the mark of Cain or not. She just kind of disappears, and then it was the two-part Batman Detective Annuals... where they introduced Nightrunner. There was some question backups in that, and she might have met Satan, and he kind of convinced her that she just has to live with it, and I thought it was better to be ambiguous whether or not she had the mark, but they kind of just came right out and said, yeah, she got it.
Yes, okay. Huh.
And then the reboot happened, and she disappeared, and she's on a wall of...
Yeah, is she dead?
They said in an interview, Hayden Blackman and J.H. Williams said that was supposed to be a distinguished officer's wall, not a fallen officer's wall, but it didn't really come through the way they wanted to.
I'm sorry, I'm pointing at Joe. That's very good for everybody listening. We were going to do a section on artists and who you like, and I was worried that it would be too... subjective. And then I started thinking about sometimes storytelling is important, and the artist, there's a failure with storytelling. Wonder Woman, the current issue of Wonder Woman, I felt really failed at the end in the storytelling aspect, as there was the candle, and I couldn't tell what was going on.
If we hadn't talked about it beforehand, I don't know if I would have understood.
Yeah, and that's a storytelling thing, and that's something like in the Batwoman. They failed in the storytelling in getting across... what that wall was.
Yeah.
Even if it was just a plaque or something on the top, or even just a line of dialogue would have explained that, and sometimes that's missed. And I think I think the basic idea, the topic that maybe we'll revisit was, is an artist, how important is the art to the story? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people were saying, I think Sean mentioned, well, as long as it's a good story, I don't care about the art. And I'm like, well, it goes hand in hand, and a bad artist can kill a good story.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would say a bad artist can kill a good story, but a good artist could not save a terrible story. However, if my favorite artist, Cully Hamner, one of my favorite artists, Cully Hamner, teams up...
Odd choice for a favorite. I mean,
with a writer who I have a passing interest in that I would have otherwise passed on the question. Sure. Cully Hamner made it a must-purchase. So, I don't know who I'd pick as my favorite artist.
That's really hard for me, too. I would like to talk about that sometime.
Okay.
If we can. I know mine is.
That'd be cool.
Sure.
Let's hear it.
Omi.
Yep. Yes! It's Oming, it's Scotty Young, it's Bocello.
I love that style.
And Afun.
Yeah. Did you really say Bocello in that list?
Did. Yep.
But that's why I was concerned. Because everybody's tastes are all over the place.
They wouldn't be employed if somebody didn't like it.
I mean, I like Alex Toth and I like that style a lot, too. I like Mignola quite a bit. Like, I'll buy anything that Mignola draws, no question.
I like artwork that has very little cross-hatching, like what Nick was saying. Guys like Jay Calafiore and Scott McDaniel, they fit right into that. Phil Hester.
Allred. Very clean. Yeah. Steve Rude.
Steve Rude. Style, yeah.
I'll buy a Bolin cover, no matter what's inside of it, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bro, like a Mike Zeck. I can't get enough
Mike Zeck. Captain America, Mike Zeck, yes.
Yeah.
What's
yeah,
he doing?
Amazing.
That's more where I live, is like, you know, the giant, what probably would most people would consider like the Marble House style, like mm-hmm. that giant, you know, the Romita softening of the Kirby stuff, if you will.
Like a Bob Layton.
And Terry Bob Layton. Terry Austin.
Yeah.
Mike Zack does commercial artwork, by the way.
Does he?
Okay. Yeah.
Those Captain America covers are some of my favorites.
They're some of the best covers ever.
Oh, absolutely.
When did they come out?
80s.
Hmm. Like that Captain America Wolverine cover.
Was that Catwolf?
No, he did not do Catwolf. No.
How about Mad Bomb?
Which was funny, because I tweeted that I was going through a run of really bad, I guess 2000s, maybe 90s, oh no, late 90s books, and... Yeah. Guy said, hey, Catwolf, and actually I do have all the Catwolf. But it was even, the bad stuff was the stuff after that.
I was going
to
say,
Fighting American, when he was trying to, he was dying.
I thought late 90s was Heroes Reborn.
But that didn't last very long.
That was after, yeah.
That was a year, right?
No, that was after I moved to California, so that was 2000.
Okay.
Heroes Reborn came
out. My problem was, I remember everybody saying, oh, Mark Grunewald's run on Captain America is so good, and so I was reading that Fighting Chance, or whatever it was called, and it was so bad.
Actually, over the weekend, I was at a used bookstore, and I found this cool... I should have gotten it. Maybe I'll go back and get it. But the Spider, if anyone's ever heard of the Spider, it's kind of like the Shadow.
The Hulk.
Yeah, Dynamite's going to do a new Spider book, but they had a Spider book that was illustrated by Gene Colan, and I thought of you.
Because segue. Okay. When my wife was, for our 10th anniversary, she was wanted to commission... She wanted to commission a piece from him, from Gene Colan, and he couldn't because he was working on the Spider and he didn't have time.
Okay.
So what anniversary was this?
10th.
How long have you been married?
Thanks for putting me on the spot.
He's like the African pike.
No, he's like the Shadow, basically. He wears like the fedora and the cape.
Yeah.
And he actually, I guess he was created before the Phantom, but he started the thing of like he had a cigarette lighter with a spider emblem on the bottom, and he would like stamp that into guys' foreheads that he would take off. So that's where the Phantom got the ring from. But the Gene Colan art in that was beautiful. It was all pencils, but it was very finished, and it was really, really nice looking. I'm going to have to go back and pick that up.
Look for a book, I don't think it's ever been collected, called Nathaniel Dusk.
Okay.
There were 2 4-issue minis, and it was all done from his pencils.
Okay, cool.
Really good stuff.
There was that IDW collection, too. It was a Detective.
Detective Inc.
Detective Inc. And that was all pencils. Yeah. Again, very tight, clean.
I wish they do.
Yeah, the Spider's older than Superman.
Yeah, because I picked up a couple years ago, Spider pulp collection of, like, the prose stuff, and the introduction was a fiction, I don't know if it's a fictional account of a real thing, I guess it is, but it's about the guy who wrote a lot of the Spider stories, and how he got paid some money from, I guess, DC or something, because Superman, there was a Superman story that had borrowed his idea of, like, giant robots attacking a city. And I guess he got some money from it because he wrote that as a Spider story before they did it in Superman.
Oh.
But it's interesting.
I read the Eclipse stuff from the 90s.
Yeah.
That's where that Detective Inc. came from.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. Matt. Oh, I know your favorite book. New Avengers 22. Best book ever.
That doesn't come out yet.
No, it came out last week.
Did it?
Wait.
Yeah. I would say what came out today that I was really, really liked was Fantastic Four. 603 maybe? That and FF, like, I really thought Hickman was losing it. And the last couple of those two books have just really, like, there's one page in this issue of Fantastic Four that ties everything Hickman's written one page makes it all make sense to you.
Is this the finale for that story?
It's gotta be close.
They ended it with a 4. And usually when they end it with a 4, that's like the end symbol.
No, it's...
Otherwise, I would say to be continued.
Sorry, no, we just got up and left the table.
I think it's continued in FF next week.
Okay. And then that would be it.
Yeah, I think FF's next week. No, because it ends. They both end the same way, and I don't want to ruin it, but... Did you read the end of it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, don't ruin it.
I won't ruin it. I guess we should wrap up since half the podcast
My favorite was The X Factor that came out last week.
Oh,
that was really good too.
That storyline was just great. Alternate reality stuff done right. Just really fun and with an ending that sets up, I don't want to say another year, but you know, another 6 months of stories easy. That can be done easily, but interesting, and I want to see where it goes. Mm-hmm. So
Is anything cool coming Nick out Sinnott? Next week?
You know, I haven't looked to see what's coming out next week yet. Although, Justice League.
Avengers, New Avengers.
No. Really?
Any cool trades or anything coming out?
There were previews last week.
Looked at the invoice for next week. Come on, man.
Oh, we were trying to plug it.
There we go.
Well, this week is Volume 7 of Invincible hardcover.
Yep, sold it already. Got to get more.
It's awesome.
Sold it out?
No, we got it in one. It's a $40 hardcover.
Holy poop.
Holy poop. Okay, well, since there's only a couple of us left.
Oh, they're all coming back.
We'll sign off.
Well, no.
What I have to read. You wandered away.
Well, no, we went to get off the shelves at the wonderful Pittsburgh Comics, Marvel Knights, Spider-Man.
So you made a sale.
Yeah, I did.
Do you like that?
No commission, sir.
That's fine.
Jeremy doesn't get it either.
he was wondering about the story where Brock auctions off.
So it made him bring... Oh.
Now, see, Jeremy should get
commissions. I have a story.
Because he sells some bad crap to people.
He thought we just left.
And he said, we're done.
Y'all got up and left.
I'm done. Peace out.
I tweeted and Facebooked that Jeremy's going to have a story to tell because guy comes in, first guy in the store today, and he's looking around, he's talking on the phone the whole time, which I don't mind, but you know, I can't really say hey, how you doing when they walk in on the phone. And also he comes up, he's like, I got a thing, I need something, it's not really a comic book question, I'm not a comic book guy, but I'm looking for a picture, I want to get a tattoo, so I'm looking for a picture of a woman. And so I'm like, I'm still trying to sort subs. So I'm like, Jeremy, go, you know, have fun. We wished you were here, Matt. Because then it goes, you know, well, not just any woman. I want a really slutty woman. Do you have any pictures of really slutty women? And we're like, well, I don't know any books specifically that would have
it. Girls 50 from Frank Show.
See, that's where we should have gone. And then all of a sudden it segues into, I want a really slutty Scarlet Witch. You want a Scarlet Witch getting down and dirty? And it's
Adam
like,
Hughes.
I'm just sitting here. I'm just like, I'm pulling books. I'm like, yeah, go find something for him. Like, he got a couple. Got a Grim Fairy Tales. He got a something Lindner.
Yeah,
so it's just very funny, but I just Jeremy would, you know, poke his head through the doorway every once in a while. What does this look like?
There's a funny story, but like that, there's a guy.
But we knew you would have helped.
This guy shops here named Mike Halo. He came in one day, the first time he shopped here, and he's like, "I want to get a tattoo of Halo on my leg," and I'm like, "Okay, that's a really odd request." So I helped him pick out like three or four references, and he came in and he got Diodato. The cover where she's all in red, he got it done in green just because that's their traditional costume on his leg. But that was just...
Huh. So his last name corresponds.
But she wasn't slutty.
She was not slutty.
I would advise people not to Google image search slutty Scarlet Witch.
Oh, we're on it now.
I would imagine you got some Al Rio art.
But it was just funny. I'm just like,
look at the glow. It's like a kid at Christmas.
We've lost Nick.
I'm sure you should have just went on eBay.
It's pretty crazy.
I was, I let Jeremy have fun with that.
You should have shown that toy, the one where she's controlling vision like a little
I don't have that.
Stick. Hold on, Nick.
Hold that pose.
Make that smile again you have. Look at that picture.
Nick, you need to come back.
I didn't know she could do
Silver
that.
Skull Witch Ultimate.
It's those hex powers.
What was that? That was like very kung fu movie right there.
That was like 5, 4, 3.
Your sound cut out. It was just you and your mouth moving. It was quite funny. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
Nick, you really need to come to Pittsburgh every week. You're much better in person.
Yeah, drive down every week, Nick.
All right,
it's only 4 hours.
He's
got a very Max Headroom feel in the photo. I took a photo of you on the iPad. Yeah,
can you stutter?
I miss that show.
So do I.
Well, here, I'll put it on Facebook.
I thought you were going to say I miss Nick.
I'm talking about Max Headroom. I'm not talking about Nick.
Okay, I think we've killed as much airtime as we could for a week.
Saved by the bell.
And do we have a... No! Sake. Adam, be quiet.
Screech!
And we might have a guest next week, but we don't want to commit anything since we...
The 29th we do.
That's next week.
Oh, is it? Oh.
Did you get Kelly Kapowski to be on the show?
Yeah.
I'll be Skyping in.
Coming in person.
Week.
You're Skyping in. Okay.
Cool. I wonder how she looks.
It's an all iPad call out.
No, I won't. Actually, I won't be...
We're just going to...
I don't think most of her is real anymore.
Huh?
I don't think a lot of her is real anymore.
I haven't seen her since the show, probably.
Okay, no more Saved by the Bell. We'll see ya.
We love you, Kelly.
Than a bullet leaping buildings in a single bound. Came from out the shadows, cause that's how we get down. Up in your town, walk between billionaires and evil scientists. Sorcerer supreme, all the teenagers are buying this. Gamma radiation, nobody could mess with this. Hold steady with venomous symbiotes in my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. All I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America when a soldier out Siberia. Rocking any microphone that's near to ya. Clobbering it till in a coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction, bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood, acolytes that believe. Super friends who make beats and cats that MC. It's the area code to the planet that we protect. The Infinity Watch is now back in effect. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, because you ain't seen it quite like this.
Because
that's how we do it in the 616. Like my ruby quartz shades and my colored rings. Laser scope rifles ain't concerned with them other things. These rappers wanna talk about ice chains and fancy cars. Me, I'm trying to build mansion in Asgard. And from the Hellfire Society studio with Cerebro. Mind patterns and rhyme, cause I rap about what I feel though. You hear the rhythm and you're hearing the track. I'm here to take it back to days of future past in my raps. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets. Demand things when I speak like your attention and respect when I jam these in the beats. And my tape deck pops, my mixtapes still rock. They're in your system, that's what Soundwave's telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drake's the only ice that I rock with. And mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time.
Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this.
Because
that's how we do it in the 616.
Drop the beat out. I'm gonna go Pietro on these cats, right? Yeah. Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will baffle these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time, watch your chain react. Can't lie, I'm a brainiac. Little they know, I'm still in the show. I'm filling the streets, unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock, when I'm killing it, yo. Please, shots to your chest. You're rocking a vest like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody'll save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm blonde when I skip lunch, eating rappers, man. So thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap. I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keeping these anonymous commenters honest, making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up on my block.
Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the